This is the October 2nd afternoon open session of the Pacifica National Board. I'll ask our secretary, Afia Wangaza. We're starting at 1:36 p.m. I'll ask our secretary, Afia Wangaza, to take the roll. I'm sorry. 2:36. It's 1:36 in Texas.
1:36. Where are you? You're from.
Right. Shram Agnir, Tracy Rosenberg, Andrea Turner,
present.
Joseph Wanzala, Sean O'Brien, Leslie Radford, Summer Reese, Rico Ross,
present.
Bill Crozier,
here.
Alberto Luera, George Ryder,
here.
Richard Uzel,
here.
Nia Bidiaco,
present.
Kathy Davis, Jennifer Jager,
here.
Alex Steinberg,
here.
Alonzo Brown,
here.
Campbell Johnson,
present.
Kemery Orndorff, Marcel Reed,
here.
Jim Bennett is absent. If you want guys are present, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We're at the point of committee reports. The first one will be from the Audit Committee. Nia, would you present that? And I think I scheduled 20 minutes for that. Is that about right?
Yes, I sent it out a few times, so I would assume that everyone has read it. And if they have any, so I'll try to read it as quickly as possible. My left eye isn't cooperating. If you see it, it looks awful red. And it's not because of any illegal activity, because I don't know what it is. just for full disclosure. So I might have to ask the secretary to finish reading some of this for me. So let's see. According to California's Non-For-Profit Integrity Act, I'm hearing two conversations. Chair, could you please get the assembly to order? Thank you. According to California's Non-For-Profit Integrity Act of 2004, there are five duties of the Audit Committee. Audit Committees shall, one, recommend to the Board of Directors the retention and termination of the independent auditor. Two, may negotiate the compensation of the auditor on behalf of the Board. Three, shall confer with the auditor to satisfy the committee members that the financial affairs of the charitable organization are in order. Four, shall review and determine whether to accept the audit. And five, shall approve performance of any non-audit services to be provided by the auditing firm. The PNB Audit Committee has worked effectively and harmoniously to complete our tasks this year, including reviewing the management letter containing the auditor's observations for 2009 and discussing recommendations with the executive director and chief financial officer, in April getting approval for the letter of agreement to hire the external auditor. And this was to save money, because actually if it had not been done then, he resides in Berkeley, which is where we were, we would have to have paid for him to come to New York, which is the normal practice, is to have them resigned in New York. So we saved some expense there. So thanks to the audit committee members for that. And speaking of that, present here we have Bill Crozier, Campbell Johnson, and Leslie Radford, who isn't here. So that was done. We did the training of the financial reporting that was done in July in Berkeley. Where am I here? At our most recent meeting, we finalized and unanimously approved the attached document retention and destruction policy, as such policy is a federal requirement, and that's in your booklet. So I sent it out to folks to take a look at. Campbell, I think I am going to need your help in a minute. I'll let you know. The draft document retention and destruction policy. The policy came from the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, otherwise known as AICPA's website, and has been adapted for use within the Pacifica Foundation in accordance with information received from our legal counsel, also Human Resources Director, the Executive Director, and our Chief Financial Officer. It specifies which documents, hard copy, electronic, or other media, including those that may be litigation-related, should be retained and protected, and if and when they may be destroyed. So there are different categories of documents that the audit committee worked on, and we have the retention periods. There are four, five, six. There are about eight categories, and there are quite a bit of them, George. I know you don't like to to read them.
I'll read it if you want.
You want to share them with? Okay, you do corporate records, please. Yeah.
You want me to read the subcategories or just the main categories?
Both.
Okay. So under corporate records is articles of incorporation.
Just so people know the distinction between the actual records. That's why I said both. Not to give you more work. Go ahead.
Okay. Under corporate records is articles of incorporation to apply for corporate status, IRS Form 1023 to file for tax-exempt and or charitable status, letter of determination, for example, from the IRS and the granting tax-exempt and or charitable status, bylaws, including all amendments dated, board policies, board resolutions, minutes and audio archives of board and committee meetings, sales tax exemption documents, tax or employer identification number designation, annual corporate filings, federal and state returns, confidentiality agreements, and all of those are to be retained permanently.
Excuse me, George. Just want to say, I know it's unfamiliar to you, because you weren't obviously on the audit committee, but thanks for reading those. But if you could do then where they're to be housed, you know, the level and responsibility,
okay.
and the responsible parties, just so it flows.
Okay.
Please.
The articles of incorporation are to be held at the national level by the ED as responsible. The IRS forms also national level by the ED and the CFO. The letter of determination by the national office for both the ED and the CFO. Bylaws, national and local, ED and GM. Board policies, national, ED and CFO. Board resolutions, national, ED and CFO. Minutes and audio archives, national, ED and CFO. Sales tax exemption documents, national and local, ED, CFO, and general manager. Tax or employee identification number, national, ED, and CFO. Annual corporate filings, national, ED, and CFO. And confidentiality agreements, national and local, held both by the ED and GM.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you want me to do the next category?
The financial okay. Since I got a break, I'll go. Now, in terms of the financial records, I'll read through, and if people have any questions, you want to add a category. I thought of a category, actually, while we were talking over the past 2 days to be added into the corporate records section, as a matter of fact. The chart of accounts that's to be held permanently at national and local, and the responsible parties are the chief financial officer, the general managers, and the business manager, okay? We use singular for the business manager, but we know they're business managers. Fiscal policies and procedures, it's permanent, national, local level by the CFO, general manager, and business manager. The actual audits, national, local by the CFO, general manager, and business manager. Financial statements to be kept permanently. The national office and local means in your local means in your individual stations, that is. And the responsible parties are the CFO, the GM, and the business manager. General ledger, permanent, national, and local are the CFO and the business manager. The check registers and checkbooks, those are kept for 7 years. National, local, that's the CFO and the business manager. Business expense documents, and all these items are for 7 years, national and local, except for the investment records and property, and the responsible parties are the CFO, the business manager. Those two exceptions include the executive director and the general manager. and they are business expenses, documents, bank deposit slips, canceled checks, invoices, investment records, property asset inventories, petty cash receipts and documents, credit card receipts. Okay, George. Okay.
You don't really want to read through all of this, do you?
I think
unless there are things you want to add, Nia, the audience is not going to be interested in the details, and we all have the
record. So we don't bore anybody?
Okay. Yes.
I thought about, don't say it like that, George. No. The chair is out of order. You have to be enthusiastic. I would like to and he's laughing, so that's good. No. I will take his advice because it is a little long. In the corporate records, I thought about the elections lists that we have, that we for every election. I think maybe those should be added into the corporate records, and maybe those should be kept permanently, because as you know, we've had some lawsuits, and they have been required. So I think it's good to add that to it.
And who would keep them, and where would they keep them?
I would suggest that should be the where Arlene and LaVarne. I have no problems with national, local, and it should be the executive director and general manager only.
Okay. And for how long?
I would do. Maybe permanent. I could live with permanent. Or I would say maybe 7 years after certification of that particular election or the related election.
7 years.
Yeah, after the certification of that related election, whatever the list. That would be my...
Okay, are there any other additions you want to make to what we have written?
I didn't learn any other lessons so far that I think should be added for the weekend.
If approved, this will become part of our financial policy and can be added to later on.
Well, it won't become. It will be referenced because they're two separate things altogether.
Well, explain that, please.
Well, in the policies and procedures manual, let's see if I can remember what categories would be in there. For example, let's say petty cash, which would come under the financial records. If you wanted to say in terms of retention, see policy, see document retention and destruction policy, you know, something like that for a number of years retained, because I think they should just be kept separately. I could work with Arlene and LaVarne in terms of the cross-references.
Okay, so all that needs to be approved now that we accept this as our document retention policy.
With the amendment that I made,
that you made
about the elections list. And I'll send a FIA. I'll type up the language of FIA.
Thank you.
Okay. That's coming from committee. It does not need a second. I gather it was unanimous in committee. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. Yes,
Is there any objection to approving this as our financial retention?
Destruction.
Document retention.
Retention
schedule?
And destruction.
Yeah. Okay, hearing none, it is so approved.
Thank you.
And I guess we just need to make sure that both LaVarne and the CFO get a copy. Well, they have a copy, so that's probably done. Okay, the next committee will be the Affiliates Task Force. We've scheduled 10 minutes for this. Afia Wangaza, who's the chair of the Affiliates Task Force, one of the co-chairs of the Affiliate Task Force.
I sent copies of the report to, it's two pages, to you by email. And I'm distributing hard copies as well. Afia Wangaza, WMXPLP representative, along with longtime KPFA-er, now WMNF station manager, Jim Bennett. are affiliates as well as represent affiliates on the Pacifica Foundation's national board. My station, WMXPLP, represents the oft-displayed examples of Pacifica outreach and the trend in community radio, that is, minority or rural, community-based, volunteer staff, un- and underfunded, and highly automated. We are Pacifica and the community broadcast community and industries service challenge. When affiliates' needs are reduced to a personnel matter, it prevents the PNB, Pacifica management, and staff from properly assessing and meeting our needs, which, of course, translates into the reduction in contracts. NFCB, which supports community stations, including non-members, was recently awarded a $300,000 CPB grant. Actually, I think it was like $330,000 to serve African American public stations, along with its ongoing contract to serve Native American stations. Pacifica did not apply nor support affiliate representative efforts to acquire further information when the opportunity was discovered, and we hoped that this will change. I would also point out that both NFCB and CPB were welcoming, despite the fact that we are not, we meaning WMXPLP is not CPB certified, but African American. Contrary to recent practice, affiliate representative involvement was virtually excluded. Despite representation to the contrary, there was no discussion of the affiliate-centered April 24th motion at the NFCB affiliates meeting. Instead, the affiliate representatives were limited to 5 minutes at the close of the NFCB affiliates meeting. This resulted in reiteration of the longstanding demand and a foot-stomping chant that AudioPort be automated. This was followed by written statements by actual affiliates and the organizers and technicians who keep us affiliates alive. We applaud current efforts to meet this longstanding affiliate need and demand to automate AudioPort. We look forward to its completion. To transition to an affiliate-centered task force structure and process which would facilitate affiliate representation, identified the ongoing needs of the majority, if not all, affiliates rather than personal associates or anecdotes, would generate unfiltered communication among affiliates and with Pacifica staff and the PMB, the April 24, 2010 motion was passed. It created a transitional step which codified the affiliate task force's structure, composition, and method of election selection of its members and defining the task force's responsibilities, ultimately resulting in an affiliate majority maximizing the Pacifica affiliate relationship. This step towards an affiliate-centered task force has met with resistance analogous to a union-busting, quote-unquote, management knows best fervor and reasoning, or lack of, plunging the task force back into divisive, counterproductive chaos and no proposed alternative. Opponents of the affiliate-centered April 24th motion reportedly, quote, did not intend to throw out the April motion, but instead to ask the task force to recommend an organizational plan that will work for them, them being non-affiliates, for submission to the PMB, which could, of course, amend or approve or disapprove it, close quotes. However, distracted by the histrionics of personality and power plays, the content and purpose of the April 24th affiliate-centered nature of the April motion and the accommodations actually made to longtime non-affiliate and non-station task force participants is repeatedly misrepresented and maligned. Even so, no proposal has emerged and affiliate involvement remains stagnant. While there is some resistance and demand to rescission, the motion conveys the PMB commitment to a healthy affiliates task force and program. Despite affiliates' praised role in Pacifica reform, I am regularly told that the Pacifica affiliates are not interested in Pacifica politics, even voluntarily, to advise representatives elected to speak for affiliates. In fact, it is constantly inferred, threatened, that we affiliates will not renew our contracts if offered the opportunity to voluntarily participate in the Pacifica governance structure and process affiliates created in the quote-unquote struggle, the quote reformation and et cetera of Pacifica, and the two elected, resulting in the two elected PMB affiliate representatives. As you will note, the PMB's motion does not, as rumored, have any plan to eliminate the affiliates program, undermine the coordinator, modify the contract, reduce the task force's composition to PMB and LSB members, micromanage, control, make decisions for or threaten the autonomy of any individual station, nor our individual station's governance. It does, however, put affiliates at the center of our relationship with Pacifica. I find the blarney that's offered to keep us at pasture as cash cows to be trotted out at our for personal aggrandizement, job security, favoritism, cronyism, contemptuous and patronizing of us and contemptible of those who play such games. Over the past 24 months, during which I have served as task force chair as well as representative, the PMB has exhibited an increasing interest, enthusiasm, support, and desire to communicate directly with us, encourage bonding and exchange with the Pacifica sister stations and one another, and to expand affiliate membership on the affiliate task force. The task force is charged with representing the affiliates and being a bridge to Pacifica. I am pleased to report that the task force and program has greater PMB attention, growing understanding of the members of the PMB, and is better incorporated into the Pacifica structure and process. Over the past year, the affiliate program has had a distinct program budget, which reflects a more clearly defined role in the foundation's financial structure and response to our affiliate needs. We look forward to that same standard for the 2011 budget, although the coordinator says that she is having or has had difficulty in consulting with the appropriate parties. The vision for the affiliate program when established as Pacifica and Affiliates Communications Exchange, or PACE, by the IPMB September 20th, 2003, that the program which facilitates the development, production, broadcast, and distribution of meaningful and influential progressive content provided by both the sister and affiliate station. Progressive programming for worldwide radio, internet, and other possible platforms. It is intended to be a mutually supportive resource serving its members as a communication hub, a learning community dedicated to improving both content and delivery efficacy with an ever-increasing number of progressive programs. Content, that the programming will be responsive to foundation and affiliate listener needs and interests and give access to others of unavailable news, art, and commentary. Along these lines, AudioPort remains a fundamental component. It serves both the Pacifica stations and Pacifica affiliate partners. In response to queries, formal and informal surveys, funds were budgeted this year for AudioPort enhancement upgrading. Sound Exchange reporting software is reportedly has been developed and available. Increased direct access to technicians John Armella and Otis McClay has improved with the restoration of staff hours. conference call consultation between the technical and affiliate program staffs would offer an opportunity for further input on enhancing and upgrading AudioPort and training on FCC Sound Exchange copyright material you use reporting requirements. To maximize fuller affiliate participation, a requested better notice second meeting was to be scheduled at the affiliate's convenience after polling, and that has not occurred. The technical staff is still testing an automated version of AudioPort, which was started at WMNF and our new affiliate rep and executive director's home station. A couple stations have volunteered and are participating.
Yeah, hang on a second. You got another several minutes at least here. Can we have extend time for 10 minutes for this report to allow time?
I didn't use all mine, so she has time. Right?
What's that?
I didn't use all mine, so there's time.
Well,
right?
We scheduled 10 minutes for this. So can we do that? Is there any objection to extending time by 10 minutes? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
There's an additional report from the subcommittee to the task force that has met and in response to some of the issues raised the April 24th resolution. And certainly like to be able to have the opportunity to present that.
Okay, so we extend time for 15 minutes then?
Please.
Any objection to that?
So move.
Okay, so get finished with you.
Along these lines, AudioPort remains a fundamental component. It serves both the Pacifica stations and Pacifica affiliate partners. In response to queries, formal and informal surveys, funds were budgeted this year for AudioPort enhancement and upgrading. Sound Exchange reporting software is reportedly completed and available. It should be complete in development. Increased direct affiliate access to technicians, John Armella and Otis McClay has improved with restoration of staff hours. Conference call consultations between the technical and affiliate program staffs would offer an opportunity for further input on enhancing and upgrading AudioPort and training on FCC Sound Exchange copyright materials use reporting requirements. To maximize fuller affiliate participation, a requested I requested a better noticed second call for scheduled schedule at affiliates' convenience after polling. There has been no follow through on that, and we still make that call. The tech staff is still testing an automated version of AudioPort starting at WMNF, and our new affiliate rep and executive director's home station. A couple stations have volunteered to participate. Hopefully, this will be expanded to all affiliates soon. Another affiliate demand being explored is a program which will generate automatic use reporting to be sent to affiliate programs, administration producers, and users. This, too, is said to be operative at this point. Additional staff was hired to update a previous affiliate survey. We have not been informed of any activity on that product. And automated AudioPort instructions to maximize technical staff's modifications and enhancement of AudioPort and general data collection for affiliate strategic planning. We're not aware of any thing that has come out of that hire. Unlike previous years, the task force has not conducted the popular and well-attended affiliates town hall meetings teleconference with the executive director and staff, which has consistently objected to direct communication, has interjected itself in our consultations with them, with one another. The PNB's invitation to the the PNB invitation to the regional in-person meetings with day and time certain continue despite objections from the April 24th motion opponents. The last PNB meeting Saturday in Berkeley included a telephone call-in, which was a first. These inconsistencies are due in part to limited resources on one hand and objections from some task force members and program coordinator on the other. The nature of the partnership between the affiliates, PMB affiliate representatives, and staff is evolving and resolving as the program matures and moves to its next level. We continue to look forward to discussions with the Foundation's Executive Director and Affiliate Program Coordinator in these efforts. Efforts to obtain task force meetings and membership and facilitate greater participation of affiliates in the Affiliate Task Force continues. A date and time certain is reserved and noticed for affiliate participation at all PMB in-person meetings, including today. We continue to express our deepest appreciation to our past PMB affiliate representative, David Beaton. David was thoughtful, dedicated, and committed representative and community broadcaster who brought great sensitivity to the ongoing effort to balance the sometimes competing interests of the foundation and its affiliate partners. His sound even-handed judgment is missed. We are sincerely grateful to Grace Allen and Laverne Williams for their support and assistance in the growth and health of the affiliates program and look forward to its continued maturation under the staff leadership of Arlene Engelhardt. Forward ever, backwards never.
Point of information
Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Mr. Chair, the motion that is referred to in this report as the April 24th, 2010 motion, wasn't that motion rescinded?
No, it was amended.
The April 24th, that was the in-person meeting, is that correct?
Yes.
That was the affiliate motion in April 24th.
Yeah, it was certainly changed at a later meeting.
It was rescinded.
Was it replaced with something else?
No, it was amended.
It was rescinded, and we directed the group to come together with another plan.
That was rescinded.
My memory is not clear, but I know that that was your motion, Richard, so I'll take your word on it. Campbell?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Richard mentioned something a little earlier that I found to be somewhat intriguing, that you know we're looking at parallel universes here. I'm reporting on the actions taken by the task force's subcommittee to come up with a structure and work plan. And we have met, let me mention that the prior report was not seen by or approved by the task force. It, as far as I know, it was just communicated to the board today. And I think that procedurally that's problematic. The Affiliates Task Force was charged with the idea of coming up with a structure and work plan. This responsibility was delegated to a subcommittee that met in a properly noticed meeting. The subcommittee has come up with the following task force structure and work plan recommendations. These recommendations are prepared for review by the task force as a whole and suggested to provide a response to the PMB's interests. The specifically identified tasks are expected to carry the task force through the coming year and begin to provide additional funding for the Pacifica Foundation by the next 6 to 8 months. Much of this information has been reviewed with our executive director by Ursula, who is the associate's coordinator. The group recommended a task force structure organized into two major functional groups or subcommittees and participants. Also, it suggested identifying a third subcommittee that we would call positioning, and it further recommended that the task force's management would continue to be by the two co-chairs and membership would be open as described below. Task force structure and work plan initial considerations. The goals of this effort are A, to respond to the PMB's request from its recent in-person meeting, B, to achieve the mission and goals of the task force and the Pacifica Foundation, C, to support and strengthen the affiliates that are affiliated with Pacifica, D, to increase the revenue flows for Pacifica and the affiliates, E, to enhance unaffiliated stations' desire to affiliate with Pacifica, F, to help encourage and provide technical assistance for new community radio broadcast stations, and G, to identify the value and benefit of exploring and embracing the new media that are emerging due to technological advancements in regard to new platforms. It is presumed that the network's affiliates coordinator will work closely with the task force members and others who share the views and interests of the task force. Number one, survey subcommittee. This is the first one of those. The functions of that subcommittee would be to develop survey instruments to survey the affiliates and possibly prospective affiliates, independent production groups, etc., to be coordinated and facilitated by Ursula. Second point here, or third, B, PMB directors to solicit information that can be used to set a demographic station assessment, attitudinal and resource, that is, for example, local institutions, businesses, foundations, community groups, a base of those, for use in support of strategic planning, grant proposals, and or business plans. Next, participation of directors. And this is a willingness requirement. With Ursula to will enhance the stature with the affiliates and help us to get greater engagement and cooperation in the process. Many of the affiliates have the information, but sometimes may not be very willing to divulge that unless they trust and know to whom they're divulging this information. Next point, survey teams will be identified in hopefully each station area, although no director is willing in a if no director is willing in a particular station area, perhaps an LSB delegate or a member may be willing. Next point, development of areas of survey inquiry will include assessments of the interests of prospective funders and or prospective supporters or collaborators. Next point, we recognize the Hawthorne effect that results from the expression of interest, which can encourage continued affiliation with Pacifica during these difficult times. I should mention that the Hawthorne effect is something that was discovered by Western Electric. They would, to improve efficiency, they would maybe increase the heat in an area or decrease the heat temperature, increase the lighting, decrease the lighting. They found out at the end that just the notion of change and that somebody was interested in the workers' production brought about improvement in the production. Last point, explore and assess interest in areas of evolving media platforms, as described in the goals above. Second major group would be the Development and Enterprise Subcommittee, and this is not a traditional membership drives orientation. First point under that is participants should include Ursula, interested PMB directors.
Campbell, just a minute. Yes. We've run out of time again. How much more time do you have with your...
I move 7 more minutes, please.
Well, let's leave some time for questions. How about another 10 minutes?
So move.
Any objection? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, this Development and Enterprise Subcommittee, which is not talking about traditional membership drives, this would be something new to Pacifica in many respects. The first point is that participants should include Ursula, interested PMB directors, LSB participants, and others possessing grant development acumen. Second point, identify prospective funders These would include CPB grants, etc., including foundations, universities, angels, who are your major funders, independent production groups that can also provide funding. We need to document their targeted interests, informational requirements, and relationship potential. Next point, prepare the internal Pacifica facilitating structures, including a network services division, financial, administrative, and managerial protocols internal to Pacifica's network services division and between client affiliates. Prepare boilerplate, including station and network organization charts, staff resumes, station and network accomplishments, mission statements, station and network goals, etc. Next point, identify and recruit proposal endorsers and collaborators. Then, to use the survey subcommittee report as a foundation for solicitation strategies. Development strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. This is what we want to document, and this refers to the next area. Develop Affiliates Task Force Network Services Division Strategic Plan. This, I think, would be of value to Pacifica as a whole. Develop network and station area solicitation strategies. Write proposals to generate initial successful grants, and we would go after the low-hanging fruit first. The third point on positioning subcommittee, which would possibly be a temporary subcommittee, would be first to develop responses to objections that may be raised by, one, prospective funders, two, affiliate stations, three, Pacifica family persons on the board, in LSBs, et cetera. Objection issues include relationship, may include the relationship with Al Jazeera, PMB directors don't raise money, Pacifica is too radical, anti-government, too extreme, unstable, and unreliable. These are all concerns that have been heard from affiliates in the past. Assess and prepare strategic considerations regarding competitive challenges from NPR, commercial media, NFCB, that's National Federation of Community Broadcasters, and Grassroots Coalition. The fourth major area is this, other task force structural considerations, and those include the affiliates task force should continue with the two affiliate directors serving as co-chairs, that anyone who wants to be involved in the affiliates task force can join as long as they represent themselves unless they represent an LSB. Lastly, proposals from Ursula, Dina, and Chandra would be incorporated into the work plan. These last questions and considerations here would be that, just a second moment here, and we'd be finished very, very shortly. Number one, how many and which affiliates do we need to survey to establish a meaningful baseline number to move forward, and how long will this take? The second question that would need to be addressed is we will begin to outline specific goals, objectives, and activities in concert with the task force. Our goals should break down our mission into individual elements, which would require specific planning. Activities should be detailed enough to give full picture of the activity, but not so specific that we get mired in logistical details. Lastly, we should do a SWOT analysis, that's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. This will apply not only to the task force, but also to Pacifica Foundation. However, in regard to the task force, we should keep our listings separate as much as possible because there may be differences. This will begin the process of developing a strategic plan. And this is what we would be pleased to submit. We are looking forward to sharing this at the October 7th meeting of the task force, and I anticipate that it would be endorsed.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chairman. Any questions? And this will be sent out momentarily. It'll be sent out momentarily.
Okay.
I'd like to respond to this.
Yes, it's from the subcommittee of the task force that was charged with developing that particular information.
Which didn't.
Just a moment. this both reports are now open for response and questions. Afia, you want to respond first?
First of all, the subcommittees did not officially meet. You will note, on September 23rd, after consultation, Jim Bennett, who is my co-chair, and I postponed the meeting until October 7th because of other conflicts. Ursula, on September 23rd, later, or around the same time, following our discussions, call for an informal discussion. The reading that Campbell has just done has not been reviewed by the task force. Neither chair has seen it, and he has no authority to submit anything in the name of the task force.
Right. He did say that. It's clear this is going to go back to the task force. Anybody else have questions?
Then I would move that it be referred to the governance committee as well as to the task force before it's presented to the PMV.
Is there a second to that?
Okay.
Let's see. I saw Alex, then Nia, then Campbell.
Okay, I'm not going to speak about the substance of either of these reports, but I must say I really object to a reading of something from a subcommittee that was never sent to the committee. We just don't have time for this stuff on the national board. I'm sorry.
Nia.
I don't want to categorize what Cameron just read, but it almost sounded like a minority report to me. And no, it's not. Okay, great. But there are a lot of things in there that I think would be really good in terms of bringing money into the foundation. So I don't have a problem with that. You know, people have issues with the process or whatever, but you did preface it by saying that you would go back to the task force. So referring it to, maybe that should be, where do we refer this to? We don't have this.
The task force.
Back
that's
to the task force.
Yeah, well, but I think it's going back to the task force. The motion on the floor is to refer it in addition to the governance committee.
Some parts. But it's a really good plan. There's some good things in there. It's kind of hard to vote on this.
There's a 10-minute extension.
Go ahead, Marcel.
Campbell.
First of all,
I'm sorry, Campbell's next, and then Marcel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
I didn't see her.
That's what I always say, so we're even.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I should identify myself for the stream. Campbell Johnson, WPFW. And I think that what should be taking place, and a number of people on the subcommittee had participated in this, there had been some difficulty in getting Afia engaged, I understand. And but what we're inclined to do.
He has the floor.
Then
he has the floor.
He should tell
you
the
can,
truth.
You, when you have the floor, you can respond. He has the floor.
Yes. The. It's sometimes challenging, I guess, when you're working with two co-chairs in an activity, but we're very much committed to moving the interests of Pacifica and the affiliates task force forward, and so subsequently we've come up with a plan, and this is what we intend to share with the task force as a whole, and to secure approval and to move forward on and welcome any additional participation. We feel, however, it's, I feel and I can only speak for myself in this regard, that it is not a necessary or needed encumbrance to look at assigning it to the governance committee. I don't see what purpose would be achieved by that, and I think it's just something that might slow the process down.
Okay. Marcel?
Thank you, Campbell, and thank you, Afia, for your reports. I'm not a member of the affiliates task force, but I do want to echo some of the things that Nia said. I do believe that these are some strategies for bringing in money. And I know that I, since I have been on the board, have recommended three separate stations to be affiliates with Pacifica. And I'm always out there trying to make sure that stations will sign on to Pacifica, and anything that can strengthen the affiliates task force and make them feel like they're more participatory in the process, I applaud. I do not know whether or not this should be referred to governance, but I am on the governance committee, and I don't see this as something that we have any say in. Thank you.
Jennifer.
Yes, I really think this is taking the cart before the horse. There are members of the affiliates task force that never even saw this report, and to bring it to this body doesn't seem to make much sense because there's nothing we can do with it right now. I think that the two chairs of the affiliates task force should be able to see this report before it is brought to us. So in a sense, it's wasting our time because we can't really do anything with it except refer it back to the affiliates task force, where all the members will get a chance to participate in it, and then it'll come back to us again. So, you know, there are other things we could be presented with at this meeting that we can act on.
I think we're out of time, are we, Bill? Okay. Can we take a vote on whether or not it will go to the affiliates task force anyway, I gather. Can we take a vote on whether or not to refer it to governance? Okay. All those in favor of referring to governance, please put up your hand. Seven. All opposed, please put up your hand.
And that means it goes back to the task force, right?
Either way.
Six. Seven. I got you. It's 7-7. The motion to refer fails. I presume we'll get it back out of the affiliates task force when it's ready. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Point of information, Chair.
Yes.
I know it doesn't change the vote, but is it important to at least count the abstentions?
Who abstained? Put your hand up if you abstained. Okay, so there were two abstentions.
It's not that important. Rico
just wanted to let everybody know.
Who's the second abstention, Mr. Chair?
Alonzo.
And no one else?
Okay. Now, we have written committee reports, and we have about a half an hour before listener comment. Bill, you're chair of the elections committee and the one of the co-chairs of the personnel committee. Do you want to say anything about those committees or read any piece of those reports into the record? Or?
Okay, let me just do the personnel one first. I think it'll be quicker. Let's see. Excuse me. And Afia and I are co-chairs of personnel. And in the back of your green book, there's the report that I wrote up last week. Basically, it summarizes what we've been doing and what the committee's been doing, what's expected to be coming up. We completed the management evaluation survey for our CFO and sent it to all the members of the PNB who supplied snail mail addresses. And then one of the things we'll be coming up doing soon in the next month or two is potentially reviewing or revising the CFO job description, not to change the, what's in it so much as to reorganize it to make it better categorized as the ED job description is. And if we complete that in time, then we'll submit that back to the PNB, of course, for approval. And then we expect to be doing the annual reviews for the ED and CFO also in the next few months. So that will be coming up.
Okay. Anything from the elections?
Yes. You may have said it and I didn't hear it, but the next item actually on our agenda is the formation of the organizational chart.
All right. Thank you. I forgot about that.
And then the job descriptions.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
The formation of the organizational chart was the next item on our agenda. He didn't mention that.
Thank you, and I forgot to include that in the written report. The Elections Committee, there's a written report also in here. It's short. I'd gotten some different comments from the Elections Committee after I wrote up a draft. I sent it out, as I always do, and there were some differences of opinion on it. So rather than trying to present just one side, I will mention that the one motion was passed at the September 14th meeting. I think it's moot now, in my opinion, and I opposed it, but I'd be glad to let somebody else on the Elections Committee read it and present it if they'd like to.
Is it? You're the chair.
Okay. Well, I mean, my opinion is
there's no objection to calling it moot. Please continue.
Okay. Well, that's all.
Okay.